From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.
So why would a Texas town have to promise not to boycott Israel if it wants aid for the costly cleanup of Hurricane Harvey? According to the Washington Post, the city of Dickinson, Texas, is located about 30 miles southeast of Houston, and it recently posted applications online for relief grants. The city's website says, however, the application includes a provision requiring applicants to promise not to boycott Israel. Joining us to help sort this out is First Amendment expert Eugene Volokh, professor at UCLA Law School. Eugene, explain this a little further. It seems like it just doesn't fit.
Oh, right. So I think that it's a bad idea to try to control what it is that, say, especially individuals who get various benefits do. I don't think there's really a First Amendment problem here. So Texas has a law that bars people who engage in enter into contracts with Texas to affirm that they are not boycotting Israel. Now, you can agree or disagree with that law, but it's basically an anti-discrimination law. It's like various laws that say that if you want to get government funds, you can't discriminate based on race or religion or sex or something like that. In this instance, it's a ban on discrimination based on national origin of a company. So you can't discriminate against companies because they are in Israel or they do business in Israel. You can agree or disagree with that, but that's sort of a pretty traditional or an extension of a pretty traditional anti-discrimination law. Another way of thinking about it is, imagine that a business says, you know, we don't support Islam, so we're going to boycott Muslims. Well, that might itself actually violate the law outright, but especially might violate various conditions attached to grants. And the First Amendment does not protect your right to discriminate, generally speaking. It may protect your right to advocate discrimination, support discrimination, but not to actually discriminate, whether based on religion or national origin of a person or national origin of a company. What's troubling here, I think, is it looks like the city is applying it not just to businesses, but to just ordinary people and trying to control that. And I don't think that would be proper, whether it's as to anti-Israel discrimination or race discrimination. If somebody is getting some hurricane relief funds, I don't think it should matter to the city if this person is, say, discriminating based on race in whom he invites to dinner or even which stores he buys at. So I think the city may be taking things further than it ought to, or maybe the state of Texas is taking things further than it ought to. But that's kind of the way I think the law would conceptualize this no boycott condition.
So Andre Segura, ACLU of Texas legal director, told the Post, the First Amendment protects Americans' right to boycott, and the government can't condition hurricane relief or any other public benefit on a commitment to refrain from collective political expression. Dickinson's requirement is an egregious violation of the First Amendment, reminiscent of McCarthy-era loyalty oaths. So he's saying that they're stopping them from being able to engage in the right to boycott. Why isn't that free speech?
Right. I think he's mistaken because, again, I don't think there is a right to boycott. Look at what's actually in the news often. You have people like bakers or landlords or whatever saying, we want to boycott same-sex weddings. We don't want, I mean, they don't phrase it as boycott, but that's essentially what they're doing. They're saying, we do not want our goods to be used in same-sex weddings. And while I think that argument may actually work as to people who create, let's say, who print leaflets or engage in other protected speech, if what you're saying is, I want to boycott a same-sex wedding by not renting a building which is going to be used for that, the answer is that violates anti-discrimination law. And calling it a boycott doesn't change things. Now, there is a First Amendment right to advocate for boycotts. There's a famous case, NAACP v. Claiborne Hardware, where the NAACP was organizing a boycott by black citizens of white-owned businesses in Mississippi. But that boycott was itself not illegal, and the Supreme Court said there's a First Amendment right to advocate for the boycott, which was itself not illegal. I think that's the best way of reading the NAACP v. Claiborne Hardware case. I don't think it stands for the proposition, although I know some people have argued that it does, that you have a right to just refuse to do business with people based on their national origin or based on anything else. Again, anti-discrimination laws routinely interfere with people's ability to boycott. If you want to boycott same-sex weddings or interracial weddings or Muslims, you don't have the right to do that. Likewise, if you want to boycott Israel, you don't have a First Amendment right to do that.
All right. Thank you, Eugene Volokh from UCLA Law School. He's a professor there and a First Amendment expert.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.